Do you remember the film My Brother Vinny? It was an award-winning documentary about Vinny Pedersen and his close relationship with his brother, the well-known actor Aaron Pedersen. And what about Five Seasons, about the seasonal changes around Numbulwa in northeast Arnhem Land, and how the Yolngu people used their landscape as a calendar? Well, Steve McGregor made both those films, as well as more recently Tales from the Daily, and we've covered them all here on Away. Steve was also involved with the acclaimed TV documentary series In a League of Their Own. But with his latest film, Croker Island Exodus, Steve explores the incredible journey of 95 Aboriginal children who'd been removed from their families to the Methodist Mission on Croker Island, 200 kilometres off the Northern Territory coast. But that's not the story. In 1942, and as Japanese warplanes approached, the children and their missionary carers were forced to leave the island. On their journey to safety, they travelled for 6 weeks, sometimes on foot, and they covered 5,000 kilometres. It's an epic story. The director of Croker Island Exodus, Steve McGregor, is with Away's Rico Adrin, and he started by asking him about the scale of the project.
It's not the biggest production. I've done similar scales of films, but it was a challenging film in its own right because it was such a huge story, and to condense it into a manageable form, we had to just be clever about what elements of the story we wanted to tell. I mean, it's based on a book called Across the Continent by Margaret Somerville.
The Northern Territory is rich with stories. Why tell this one?
Well, originally the story came about one of the producers, Danielle McLean, her auntie, Connie Cole, she was one of the girls on the trip, you know, way back in 1942, and she wanted to write her book. So her grandson, David Cole, was talking to Danielle and said, we should make a film. So Danielle spoke to me, and once I started hearing about it and reading about it and then meeting the ladies, it was like, yeah, this is an amazing story.
You know, an idea for that to come around in 2006, and there's such a long time between then and now, was anything hindered at all, or was there always a wealth of research there to work with? And
I mean, what happened, essentially, we researched in 06 and we wrote a treatment in 06 and pitched it to the ABC and SBS as a documentary, but they knocked it back. So we sort of sat on it for a little while, and then we got word that, you know, maybe we should resubmit it. You know, people were talking. So we resubmitted it, and we engaged another producer, Anna Greaves, who really loved the story and went in to fight for us. She's a very experienced and talented producer. And then from there, we just slowly, we just kept rewriting. And then the ABC came on board, and then that triggered all the other investments. I mean, it was a long period of time, and, you know, Anna and Danielle had to raise the money, which is a big headache. And then finally, we went into production in 2011 and finished the film April this year. So, you know, from 06 to, you know, that's 6 years.
That 6 years, what suffers, you know, when the initial fruition there 6 years ago, and you're fired up and you're thinking, yes, and it takes that long, what suffers, if anything?
I mean, you get slack, you know, you're ready to go, and you get slack, and you go, oh, you know, why bother? And then, I mean, that's not 6 years working solid, you know, that's sort of off and on going to, back and forth to it. But, I mean, you do sort of lose that drive at certain stages, but then, you know, you talk with the ladies and they've given you their story, so that's another drive to keep going too, because you don't want to let them down, you know, and it's such a deadly story.
A lot of us really thought we was just going on a holiday. It didn't seem that dangerous for us at that time.
I didn't think nothing bad about it because we had each other, you know, like brothers and sisters together.
Because I never forgot about it, but it freaks me out when I go there to Kakadu and see where we walked and that.
And the ladies have seen the film and they're really proud of it, which is a relief.
The film, I heard an interview just recently. It was one that you did late last year.
Yeah.
An interview I heard you talking about shooting it from their perspective. Can you elaborate on that technique?
Well, basically what we did some drama reenactments of the story. So we cast all these kids to play. Well, our main characters are Netta Cahill, Jesse Lyons and Alice Briston. So we cast these kids to play them as younger kids and put them within their own history. I mean, as we did the reenactments, we placed the old ladies watching on at themselves, and we changed, we went from the present to the past. So it's sort of, we immerse themselves in their own history. And a lot of the kids that we cast to play, or the kids that did the journey, they were the, like the great-great-grannies of those people that made the walk, so which made it a little bit more special.
That technique, as a director, can you tell us where you adopted that from, or how you developed it?
Well, I've seen a film called Lone Star by John Sayles when I was at the film school in Sydney in about 2001, and it just blew me away, and I always wanted, said to myself, I'm going to do that someday, but I don't know what film I'm going to do it on. And then when this film came up, we were sort of looking at it as a stylistically approach. It was like, yeah, let's do that. That'll work. And it does. It's really cool.
Working on Croker Island Exodus, what aspects of your skill set did you need to tap into to be able to have this story come to life?
Well, it's a collaborative process. You know, being the director, you are the captain of the ship, but you have a lot of people with you that support you and support the story. So basically you have to tap into communication, respect and listening. You've got to be able to listen, because we did a lot of interviews and it's not all about talking, blah, blah. You've got to listen to what the people are saying, you know, and just sit back sometimes.
Too deadly. Stephen, as a story to tell, was this challenging? What sort of emotions were conjured up during Croker Island Exodus?
A lot of emotions, because, you know, Croker Island was set up as a mission for Stolen Generation Mob. So these ladies, you know, they were taken from their families, and we revisit those memories, you know. So there's a lot of pain there, but these ladies are strong. They're tough. It's not poor bugger me stuff, you know. They're sad that they never got to see their parents again. They lost all of that, their ties to culture and everything. What's grown is a strength of a human spirit, you know. They've grown up kids, they've got grannies, they've lived a life, and they're really strong friends. And so what's grown out of that is a bond. So it's an emotional ride, yeah.
As the storyteller here, what do you think your role was? What do you think is expected of you from not only the ladies that you spoke to and that, but also the viewer?
I think to bring a truth to the story and to share the story, you know, with an audience, because I didn't know about this story, you know, and everyone who we approached and we've talked to approached and who we've talked to about it, they're just amazed and said, you know, why haven't we heard about this? So I suppose my responsibility is to stay true to the story and present it to an audience and hopefully move them.
Steve, tell us about Danielle McLean and Anna Greaves.
Well, I've known Danielle for a long time now. We work together at Karma Productions, the Central Australian Aboriginal Media Association in Alice Springs. We worked together for about 6 or 7 years. And she was a writer, director, producer there. And Anna Greaves I've known about 8 or 9 years. And Anna used to be an executive producer at Film Australia, has a huge list of credits that she's produced and executive produced. And those two ladies were responsible for raising the finance and doing all the really boring stuff, but really hard and very essential work, you know. And without them, we wouldn't have a film. Without, you know, and Anna, I know she worked really hard, and she's still working really hard doing all the deliverables, as did Danielle. Sometimes, you know, people, it's a thankless task, but without Anna and Danielle, the film wouldn't have been made.
To think, you know, she lived her life for us, you know.
I'm really thankful to the missionaries. They had a chance to go, but they just stayed with us.
It's bringing back memories.
I can't say there was any feeling of apprehension or worry. That just had to be done, so you did it.
Well, I mean, the biggest day we had about 25 kids, which, you know, they weren't too bad. But we got Aaron Pedersen on board, because none of these kids had experience in film or anything. So we brought Aaron up for a day, and we did a workshop just about on-set protocol. And then Aaron didn't want to go back to Melbourne because it was boring. And he said, can I hang around? I said, no worries, you can be the dramaturg. So I had him on set to help wrangle the kids and prep them before they came onto set. And he was a big help because it's hard wrangling 25 kids. And then other days we probably had, you know, 10 kids with us all the time. But, and it was October, so it was really hot. But there wasn't any whinging. They loved it, you know, school holidays. They just loved being a part of it.
You said some of them were descendants, so any acting ability amongst the kids?
Oh, they're some fantastic actors. Like, just blew us away, you know, like these kids got it. And it was so deadly because they bonded. A lot of them didn't know each other and, you know, they had to be this group of kids that are, you know, all run amucks, but, you know, friends. And they just bonded and, yeah, you know, there's a few kids in there that if they want to take it, they can take it.
So 4 weeks shooting all up?
Yeah, 4 weeks. We had about 7 days of drama shooting where we had a, you know, sort of a, not a full drama crew, but, you know, we had a first AD and a gaffer grip and tracks and dollies and all that rigmarole, makeup and costume. And then we had, about 3 weeks of doco shooting then. Mm. But we'd sort of been shooting, we did some shooting in 2009. With the with Margaret Somerville, who at that time was 97. She turns 100 in September this year, and she was the missionary lady on the island. And so just to interview her and the ladies so the investors could see what sort of characters their presence on screen. And so, you know, we're picking up bits and pieces, yeah.
And which way, localities, whereabouts were you, Mob?
We flew down to Sydney to shoot Margaret Somerville because she lives down there. And we shot in Darwin, Croker Island, Owen Pelly and Pine Creek. And we shot at Holmes Jungle. We Gammon said that was Kakadu and you wouldn't be able to tell because we couldn't afford to go to Kakadu or Arnhem Land, you know.
Overall, Steve, what surprises you about this story?
What surprises me is about the strength of these ladies, you know, when just their love of life and what they've been through, and that they don't feel sorry for themselves, you know, and I think everybody can learn from that, you know, and the laughter and the stories they share. Like, you see these ladies together, they're just like teenagers gossiping, you know, blah 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 blah, and they all have a laugh, and you know. And it's beautiful.
Mm. For our listeners, in a few sentences, could you pitch the finished product to potential viewers?
Set in 1942, this film tells an extraordinary journey of 95 children and 4 missionaries as they cross the continent, covering 4,000 miles in 44 days. And it's the strength of the human spirit and friendships that have lasted a lifetime.
What has this film added to your body of work?
It's a different style, because a lot of my docos have been observational, but this is really cinematic. So it's sort of another string to my bow in a sense of the type of film I can make. You know, it was like there were people saying, you know, it's a little bit big, I think you should pull it back, and I don't think you can do that, and I don't think you can do that. It was like, no, we're going to go for it. You know, and we went for it, and that's a credit to everyone who worked on the film. You know, the camera crew, the sound, the editor, Danielle and Anna, everyone just went for it.
Everyone knows you and your work predominantly for the documentary style. Is there going to be a shift in the way you tell stories? Are you perhaps looking towards features?
Yeah, I've done a bit of drama. I did a 50-minute drama in 2002 called Cold Turkey. Yeah. And I've been writing for Red Fern Now. That's the new drama series produced by Blackfella Films. One of my apps is shooting now, actually, in Sydney. And I've got a couple of features that I'm writing. And, yeah, no, I want to move into the feature market. It's just really hard to get money for that. But eventually, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I love docos and I just love making films and helps pay the rent.
You say you love docos. There is another one coming along the way, eh?
Yeah. I've got going to do a documentary on the lead singer of the Rumpy Band, which is really exciting. I mean, the family, they're the one that generated it, because it's 5 years now since he passed away. So the family are going to, want to make a film to tell his story. And so we've done a little bit of filming with his dad and his brother and that over on Elko Island. So that kicks off sometime, I think it's about August, September, we start properly doing that film.
The research for that, where's the background work on that? You're working from some books that someone's written, or?
Well, we got a really good researcher. And one of the producers, Lisa Watts, used to be married to one of the band members of Rumpy Band. So inside knowledge, bang, there. You know, and Lele, his brother, and, you know, the father and the daughters and, you know, the sisters, they've all come and all, you know, come to the table. And we've had this researcher on board for a while because it was a bit of a complex situation, getting licensing agreements for the music. So while we start shooting in August, September, there has been like 18 months of work already happening.
You've tackled a tough story in Croker Island Exodus. To take on the story of an icon like that.
Yeah, it's scary. But, you know, he was deadly. I seen him in concert, you know, and I had a bit to do with him at Karma and that. You know, he's an amazing man. He's very complex and, you know, he was a rock and roll star. I seen him play in Berlin once and he rocked and all them people just sat there wide-eyed and said, who is this bloke? You know, I feel privileged to tell this story. But, you know, we have to tell it who the man was, you know, warts and all, because he was a rock and roll star. And with that comes rock and roll.
Steve McGregor, the co-writer and director of Croker Island Exodus, speaking with Away's Rico Adrin. The other screenwriter was Danielle McLean, who co-produced the film with Anna Grieve. Croker Island Exodus premiered at the Sydney Film Festival earlier this year. This is Away, Indigenous Art and Culture on RN.